What about the... there's a little bit of interest, I think, generally, in the Supreme Court's attack on the problem of people who are intoxicated getting into cars and whether they can be held responsible if they pass out for drunk driving. Do you remember that one?
I'll never forget it. Pomeroy and Fulcher, in order to keep our sanity in the court, there were a few inside one-liner expressions that the justices would use when the tension was heavy. And you could always break the tension by reference to brothers Pomeroy and Fulcher. There were two separate cases, People versus Pomeroy and People versus Fulcher. These two fellows were unrelated to one another, and the incidents were unrelated, but they were both arrested for drunk driving, and they didn't think they should have been convicted for drunk driving, and they separately appealed their cases to the Supreme Court. But they got to our court about the same time, so we joined them together for hearing. I don't remember whose case was what facts, but one of them, Pomeroy maybe, was came out of a bar about 2 a.m. one morning, and he was plenty stiff, and got into his car, and it was ice cold, midwinter, turned the ignition on, and promptly plopped over with his forehead on the horn in the middle of the steering wheel, and the horn is sounding, and the car is on, and there's a can of beer between his legs, and he is asleep. When the police officer arrived, reached in, turned the ignition off, removed the can of beer and the keys, and arrested Pomeroy, if that's who it was, for drunk driving. In the unrelated case, Fulcher, I guess it was, that fella, similar situation, had too much to drink, left the bar and drove a short distance from the bar, and as I recall, drove his car into a ditch. I think it got into the ditch nose first, having slid off an icy highway, and it was in gear, and he had fallen asleep, and the back wheels were spinning at the top of the ditch, and the cop came along and arrested him. So up they come with the argument that they weren't driving. And so here we are, the seven of us berobed geniuses, sitting in the dais of the Michigan Supreme Court, listening to these arguments, which had to be made by the lawyers somewhat tongue-in-cheek, this issue of great jurisprudential significance, whether Fulcher, with his head depressing the horn ring and the can of beer between his legs, was driving because the ignition was on, and whether the other guy was driving sound asleep with his car wheels spinning in a ditch. And we tried mightily to keep a straight face during those arguments and succeeded, I hope. The issue was of some significance, but it wasn't enough that we should have been fooling with the cases. It seemed to me that when it was all over, I regretted taking the cases and thought the Michigan Court of Appeals did just a fine job handling these things.
Didn't the decision somehow turn on a distinction between an operator and driver of a car?
Yes, it did. And we were in the conference room. I recall distinctly going around the table and the justices offering hypothetical instances to try to decide what a driver and what an operator is. And Chuck Levin insisted that whenever possible we look at the automobile no-fault statute to look for definitions in that statute. I thought the whole discussion got out of control, and the upshot of it all was about what we deserved. There were only six people on the court at the time, for reasons I don't remember. It was a vacancy. And we split 3-3, which meant that having struggled with who was a driver and who was an operator and who was in the ditch and who was in the parking lot, we didn't make any law at all.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about, Justice Ryan, and that is your thoughts about the handling of the Dorothy Riley case in 1982 after she'd been appointed and her right to sit on the court was challenged by Frank Kelly, and ultimately she was removed.
Well, it was the darkest time, the darkest hour of my time in the court, easily. Justice Riley, now Chief Justice Riley, had been a candidate for election to the court and had lost. and returned to her seat in the Michigan Court of Appeals. My brother, Blair Moody, in 1982, stood for re-election to his seat and was re-elected in November of 82. Governor Milliken was the governor, but he had chosen not to run in that November of 82, and Governor-elect Blanchard had been designated by the people to take office on January 1st. It was in that circumstance, Blair having been newly elected, with a month and a half left on his old term, died of a heart attack in Thanksgiving week